it's four after, so let's kind of move along, and when John gets here, he can take over. So 12:04, meeting called to order.
Public comments. Could there be such public comments?
Well, there could be. In that some of the folks that we had invited had a picnic that Jamie and I personally knew and the board that were on your list, and we personally said, okay, I will deliver those invitations. They had nothing but positive things to say about the picnic itself, and they really, really appreciate Pam doing this and taking the first initiative to start the conversation, as well as bringing people together so they can then work, talk, and reconnect. So that was a very, very positive picnic and very positive results. And thank you very much for Pat and Barbara on taking this project on and having great success, because that was an excellent, excellent PR.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you a lot. I thought you were going to talk about the other day.
Oh, no.
No. We'll let Bill do that. Okay.
Okay.
Our other esteemed guest, would you like to comment?
No, I'm no. The prosecuting attorney for Parks.
Oh, I know who you are. Yeah.
I'm just here to.
I have to ask.
I
would not want to be rude and ignore you.
Nothing on the radar.
Oh, okay. Well, let's rock it around the room with a quick intro of ourselves, starting with Jeremy today.
Jeremy Knuth with Parks staff.
And cook extraordinaire.
I filled in, maybe overdone
myself. Jay Chester, Parks Advisory Board.
Dave Weston, Parks Advisory Board.
Barbara Anderson, Parks Advisory Board.
Jennifer Halleck, Vancouver School District.
Kelsey Potter, Parks Advisory Board.
Temple Lentz, Parks Foundation.
Lori Lebowski, Community Planning.
Leanne Mattis, Clark County Parks.
Parks.
And we're rocketing right through this today. Minutes, you have your minutes from our last meeting before you. You've had a moment to review them.
On the attendance, just at the top, I think Lori and I were both here last month, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So we were here.
Good.
I don't remember if Chris was here. So Chris was here too.
Okay.
Any other corrections? I'll entertain a motion to approve as corrected.
I move that we accept the minutes as amended or corrected.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the minutes as corrected. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I guess I'm first up here on the picnic. Those of you that were there, it was really rocket. And you might have wondered when I stood up there and thanked our neighborhoods, Minnehaha, Phillida, and North Salmon Creek, and didn't say a word about you, that you might have felt a little overlooked. And I wanted to explain to you my thought process on that. It wasn't that I didn't know or appreciate all that you did. My mother always said that when you're a host or hostess, you certainly don't thank yourself. Okay? So that's where my head was at, and why I didn't point at PAB people and say, look what PAB did. Because in my mind, that is a rude thing to do. But I want each and every one of you to know, you really made it happen. Hi. And I really appreciated all of the effort that went into it. And I know that the people that attended did. So nice job. Thanks so much. And maybe that's Kelly. Okay. Okay, quiet. Okay. So Kelly says yes, he'd like to. I'll just call him now and put him on speaker and see how that works. I thought when you showed me that new Skype camera the other night that you might have been putting them in all locations.
Yeah, I said we're going to put one up at Luke Jensen next.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
At the conference center. So,
yeah,
so we'll,
those
we'll,
are...
We'll be right up here.
That is so cool. So let me just... Yeah, I heard you. Be quiet. Call me. I was just going to tell you, I'm going to call you. Okay, so contacts Kelly. He's so dedicated, I knew he wanted to be in on this, even though he's in the gorge. So let's see how well this works.
Who seconded the last motion?
Kelsey did.
Absolutely.
Come on up.
Yeah. Kelly?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, so sorry we don't have a Skype capability today.
Okay. Well, I have
Oh. Okay, well, we're going to try to roll off of just my cell phone on speaker. And Councillor Bolt has just joined us. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
I think we're all on a high after our picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good day. Good day in paradise. So, Kelly, we've gone as far as roll call and review of the minutes. Did you have any corrections to the minutes? We did.
I didn't have any corrections.
Okay, we had a couple of corrections on attendees. And I was just thanking the team for all their hard work on the picnic. And we're just about to move on. Do you happen to have the agenda? Okay, I was going to say, we can take a picture of it and send it to you. Okay, you're good at toddling along. Super. Before we move forward, let me just ask if you would like to make any comments. You missed the opening. Oh, okay, I was talking to Councillor Bolt, but that's okay. Same goes for you. It's so hard without visual, isn't it? I'll say your name before I call on you. How's that, Kelly?
That's fine.
And if you want to say something, just yell.
I'm sure you do. So.
Good morning. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Well, thanks, everyone. I think just a couple things is Bill's probably going to get into, but, you know, we're going to have a work session. I don't know when. Quick.
September 7th at 11 a.m.
Okay, got it. And so we have talked quite a bit about it, and I've talked to the real estate board to get more involved too about the PIF fees and stuff like that, you know. And exactly, you know, we're new, and can we look at districts? Can we look at? You know, I met with the real estate people and they said, we understand your acres per person, that's great, but is there a limiting fact? Can we, instead of a 5-acre tract, keep 2 acres for a park, sell 2 acres, and do we have to have that 5? You know, there's all kinds of different ways things looking at that. So I think that work session will be helpful, and we really need your input, especially in the PIF fees and everything else. The second is, you know, is probably, you know, that I threw, you know, Bill under the bus for giving him Heritage Farm. So that will be and Kelly, you know, that will be a different area of parks, because it is a farm, it's not a park, but it is still, you know, fits in your area. So we're meeting here pretty soon, so, but you'll have input in that, you know, on what you can do. And the other one is I talked to Larry Smith today at assignment at a military funeral, and I've talked to, well, at least 3 members of the board, okay, about us talking to Vancouver, starting that talks again, and you know, coming back, you know, at least maybe not joining, you know, together right away, or I don't know, but at least doing more things with them. And I mean, we've got to quit the division. And so I think it's easier on a foundation, you know, and everything else that, you know, you're not talking to two different people. At least there will be times that we're together, and because people don't care. They just want to have a good time. So I look forward to the meeting, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're on deck now,
I'm
buddy.
On deck. So we are talking about the field trip. Is that
field trip, yes. So the last field trip in August, I went out there, and I just talked to myself as I walked the loop, and then I left. So I guess the question is I know it's a busy time for everybody. Do we want to postpone some of these field trips until maybe into the fall? We didn't have any attendees on this last one. So I don't know if there's an interest
school.
To you know, keep these field trips up, or if you want to postpone until, say, like September or October or something like that, when people's schedules start to lift a little bit.
Did a doodle poll go out on that?
I did not doodle poll the field trips.
I didn't even know it was happening.
So. Oh, okay. It wasn't on your calendar. Well, you know, and that's on me because a lot of times I'm the mom, and I like to honor the fact that, you know, you've got it on your calendar, but I'll be happy to doodle poll those. But the other question I think might be asked is there a better time of day for the team? Because I know I love these field trips. If Aiden hadn't had that school thing, you know I would have been there. I learned, as much as time I've spent in parks, every time I go, I learn something. And it's a wonderful way to get to know the things that we're actually advocates for, right? The details that you shared out there at Harmony Field were far beyond anything I've known, and I've been there with my grandson many times. So is there a time that would be facilitate a better attendance? You know, this is a learning experience that's just priceless.
Right now it's Friday at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
First Friday of the month, it's a recurring thing, but I can always cancel the recurring.
I know, I love that time, but that's just me.
I can make the September 2nd one. I just didn't because I was out of, yeah, so I'm in if someone else is.
I know a lot of people do vacations and that kind of stuff. It's that time of year.
That is the Friday before the weekend, too, so that could affect September.
Yeah, but school starting on the 31st is really changing the look of this year.
Yeah.
So if we do adhere to the same to this to the next one in September, I guess the question is where would you like to go? Would you like to go back out to Clackamas?
Yes.
Or I was bummed that I didn't make that.
I was bummed I missed that.
And the one thing I was thinking, we've got some brand new park properties that we've acquired. And we've got Curtain Springs Wildlife Habitat that's just behind us down the road. And then we've also got Prairie Fields that, in fact, we get the deed today on. And so we can actually go out there and walk around these new properties. I think that'd be kind of cool. So maybe we can shoot for October for that. Maybe hit one side or maybe both sides.
Yeah, and when they're close, maybe do both of them.
I might be able to get a van or something and just pile in and just go on a little field trip.
Actually,
awesome.
Yeah, do a twofer. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Okay.
Okay, so the noon on the Friday is good. It just has been, we need a little jogger.
Yeah, I think noon on Friday's good. I can't make this one because I am on vacation the second, but.
Is that allowed?
Yeah. I'm sorry? Is
vacation
that allowed?
Is that?
Yeah, you can't afford my divorce, so you need
to. Well said.
Does that work for you, Kelly?
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect.
So, Bill, where are we meeting at Clackamas?
Clackamas is the main parking lot.
The main parking lot,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
The
main entrance.
And I will do a memory jogger for that.
Okay.
One thing about Clackamas, when I went out there was like one parking spot left, and I took it. There is an overflow parking lot around the corner. It's up there by the right across the street from the restaurant. So it's on the other side of the bridge. Just go down, and there's a big overflow parking lot there.
Leonard
Road is the name of it.
Why don't I get that info from you to put in an email?
I'll do that.
Out.
I think we'll actually show a map.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, just prior
just
to the meeting.
In the event the parking lot is full.
And there might be road construction on the intersection coming off of, I can't remember, the Camas School District just sent out a notice that there's several road constructions along several of the roads, so I don't know if any of them, I'm trying to remember if any of them are affected by that.
It wouldn't surprise me if they do something about that intersection to the Camas High School, whatever that road is.
Well, it's not the intersection, it's actually the parking lot of Camas High School. They're rebuilding and everything right now, and I think there's some other stuff. So anyway, you might want to look before you go and make sure and allow some extra time.
Okay.
There's
and Bill, I don't know if you're, what you're looking at that, at the October one, but if you were thinking about seeing new properties or something, a couple of them, I think you should invite some counselors because it's right before budget and it'd be good to hang out with you.
Sounds good.
That's great.
I think maybe we'll get a van and let's all go together.
You can take us out in the weeds and beat us out.
You will pass this line up.
Yeah, we'll put you on the invite list. That'd be great.
We can stop at Jimmy John's.
There you go.
Oh, we're coming then.
Food always seals the deal.
Cool. All right, Steve, I just saw you walk in. You are up on disc golf.
So that's a handout we'll pack in here. So as you'll remember, the last time I was here, last month, you guys asked us to come back with some more details on Hawkinson Meadows and the master plan and what the disc golf course would look like. And so we were able to pull some information from the master plan, the past master plan that was out there, go back out and go beyond just kind of a preliminary, could 18 holes fit out here, to what exactly would they look like. We came back with the first draft of what the course would, you know, where the course would go, looking at the what we currently know as wetlands, and moving ahead, you know, we'll give them a more accurate assessment of where we need to, what we need to avoid, and what we'll need to mitigate for, and what we need to do to get that going. But I guess, I assume you haven't had time to read through the packet.
No, we just got it.
Yeah, and me too. I mean, I saw some of it last week, but I haven't seen exactly what's in here. I think...
can you maybe put that up, Jeremy?
I don't...
You don't have it.
Well, let's see here. Here we go. So the blacked out area here.
I guess the question I've got is, what is this?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
That's the Halen piece. Somehow it got on here.
Oh, that's in the Halen piece.
That looks like, isn't it?
Aren't you up just north of
Hawkinson? No,
because it touches 172nd Avenue.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not it.
That's
not
it. It looks like it's the main entrance of the park itself, I'm assuming. And this is the
shape. Right where the hand is would be
the shape, I think, follows this one.
Is the curve.
No, I think this is where.
And that's where we're looking for this.
I'm not sure why this piece.
I don't know
what that's there. That's got three right here.
Right. Yeah, so that. Is anybody unclear what part of the park we're talking about?
No.
Okay.
Is that where the horses are right now?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Where the horses are. There's a corral there and a little barn that needs to go. to the county. That's the one on the left. There's what we see is what we currently understand as being wetlands and sensitive areas and wooded areas. But that would need to be reassessed because that was done 7 years ago. You go ahead with the next. So this is a little more narrowed down as to where the actual holes would be and how the flow would be. We went ahead and assumed that the bridge is kind of a necessity, and even if not, if you do end up going with a temporary parking lot somewhere, just renumber them temporarily, you know, at the beginning for phase one, and then renumber later, or just start up hole 12 and work your way around from there. It's just a number, right? So
this is a typical, you know, what a T-pad would look like with pavers and an Echo Green Grid deal around the outside to help with compaction of the soil, and just keep things in place. Go ahead to the next.
So you're doing paver T-pads?
That's one way to do it. We may determine when we get in these. Some of it's just what's going to be most efficient. Pavers are slightly more expensive than pouring concrete, but they're also a little easier to move if we decide that a T-pad needs to be moved. And, the goal isn't to build a course that never moves at all. There's often times where, as you start playing, it's nice to, hey, you know what, it'd be nice if we moved something a few feet left or right or closer or farther away to increase the difficulty or to make it easier for younger players or whatever. So it will morph over time. There will be some changes that will take place over time. So pavers are nice because you can pull them out fairly easy, reseed, and go, whereas concrete, you know, it's going to break.
One problem when you play on the paver tees is once they get uneven, it's horrible.
Right. And it's all about setting them right the first time. Yeah. Or getting people to go back in and fix them.
Are they considered pervious?
They can be. Can be.
I think that was going to be intent, so we don't have mitigation to be concerned about.
And this is just a concept of what one T-pad area would look like with a bench and a marker and bag post. And then it just gets more detailed there on actual what construction looks like. We're really talking very limited, a post hole for the most part, and some pavers on top of the soil. So the last one that is new is the a concept for the bridge, and that was based on another bridge that was out there. So still looking to see if there's some other options for.
It's a 60-foot span bridge.
Right,
to get across the ditch.
So is that small enough that you won't have any issues as far as environmental permitting?
We'll have to find that out. We're doing the site plan aspect of it. So I'm going to start to do that, update the wetlands analysis up there. That bill was 7 years old, and so it's expired. So.
Yeah.
But before we go too much further and get into that, we need to make sure we've got approval here.
Mm-hmm. And that's our first step is to seek a Parks Advisory Board approval or support, and then we'll take it to the Board of County Councilors and get it approved there, and we can move forward. So that's the intent.
So Bill, does this change the map? This changes the massive map?
Regional park, not really. The piece that we're building on right now, that's basically a phase two, and to be determined in the future. And so right now, basically both villages are being grazed by cattle. So it really doesn't change the park itself. So it should be.
And the master plan does have disc golf listed as one of the options in it. That area of the park was slated for ball fields and recreational use, so it's right in there.
It's kind of wide open as to what we would use that for in the future, and so it could be for sports, it could be for disc golf, maybe a potential off-leash area, something like that.
Okay. The one concept drawing of that area doesn't show a disc golf course in it, but it also doesn't show what was currently done in the park either, because it was just a concept before the final drawings of the buildings.
It was interesting when this park was built. You know, the concept plan, the actual final footprint of the park doesn't look much like the concept plan because of all the wetland issues. They had a lot of shifting around before they finally got the interior drawings that we can fill the park with. So.
And right now, we have grazing going on there.
Yeah, there's a 40-acre, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a 40-acre field and a 50-acre field to the east on the corner of 172nd and 119th. And so those two fields are both being grazed, one by cows and the 40 acres by horses. So Jeremy's got a lease on both of those right now. And so I think that we've talked to the leasee that's on that property to let them know that we're probably terminating the lease next March. Is that right, Jeremy?
April.
So he wanted to know so he could put his hay in the barn for this winter to feed his critters. and then begun in spring.
And having just gone through Frenchman's Bar, there's no, since it's already being grazed, there's no likelihood that we're going to get approached by Audubon or somebody with the wetland.
It'll come to the landing site for the geese.
You're right.
No, but and with regard to Frenchman's Bar, once again, we just kind of stalled that because of what is happening with that 540-acre tract dedication to Conservation Futures from the port, and turning that into a big, Sandhill Crane habitat or preserve, I think.
Yeah, staging area so they can feed and rest up for their migration.
Right.
Sanctuary.
There you go. And so that's going to be the piece that leads from Blue Rock Landing all the way up to Frenchman's Bar. They're going to burn three sides of that so people cannot look into that sanctuary, and also on the right-hand side as you go around that 10-mile-an-hour corner. So you're basically going to be in the tunnel going all the way to Frenchman's Bar. And they've got $8 million to spend towards this sanctuary and the maintenance of it. And so it's kind of changed the entire look of that whole lowlands as you get down to the park. And so I just wanted to see what their final draft is going to look like and how that's going to affect the park, if it does at all. Once I get an idea, then we'll try to move forward with the permitting process for the city of Vancouver, since it's in the city. So that's the idea. So it's not dead, it's just delayed.
Right.
So I want to make sure that we've already got the recommendation from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, who met us out on site and told us, yes, you can have a disc golf course out here. The footprint needs to be smaller. You might have seasonal closures. So we might have to close it down for the wintertime or for the migration period, which is really easy to do. You just pull the baskets, mm-hmm. and it's effectively closed down. So it's that simple. And so in our mind, you know, disc golf is a fairly low impact activity, and it's easy to turn off, you know, just by pulling the baskets, so that's good.
I still really like the idea of combining a dog park with the disc golf, just for the record.
Oh, yeah, you want them to walk around with dew on their shoes.
No, I'm more just thinking the dogs.
Case. Only if we can treat them to bring the discs closer to the basket.
So, Councilor Bolt, one thing that John brought up, is he's the Port of Kamiswashaville Port Commissioner. He offered up an off-leash area out at the Rowe Field in Front Prairie.
Uh-huh.
So the two glide paths, if you will, or the one glide path coming in at the end of the runway. Mm-hmm. Is that, how big of an acreage is that?
The total parcel is 31 acres.
31 acres.
We're talking 7.
Yeah, to be used as a disc golf course and or off-leash area. And so it's outside of the Kamis city limits. And so talking to Pete Capel a while back, the city of Kamis is intending to put $15,000 towards that effort. And so I heard the Port of Kamis, Washougal, or
yeah, Washougal, the city of Washougal is talking about it. I'm having some challenges with my fellow port commissioners. So right now I'm just focusing on getting the land there.
Okay. But Pete asked me if the county would mind putting some money towards that effort, about $15,000, to see if we can get that infrastructure started out there. Sorry. Just so we can have either another disc golf course or off-leash area. I don't know if we can get both in the same footprint. We might be able to.
Right.
If it's 31 acres, that's possible. But it might not be an 18.
It might not be 18, but right. But it'd be really pretty. It's nicely wooded back in that far end down that we've walked in.
Yeah. So I asked Heath about that this morning. And he said, well, why don't we wait until after the first year when we find out what our budget looks like? So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think we'll just push off on that until we know exactly where we're at with the budget.
And I think it'd be good to talk to, you know, you guys more about off-leash parks, you know, at the beginning. Because off-leash parks, you know, in their perfect, you know, world, they're not, everybody gets along. But it's really causing heck with animal control. I mean, every time you put an off-leash park on, we only got 4 guys in animal control.
Right.
So when you put another off-leash, they're shaking their head. So from now on, they're going to kind of be in this conversation. Maybe we can work the two and, you know, give them a few bucks or whatever.
Paul was telling me about the fighting dogs there.
Yeah, I know they're really strapped to staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the 4 people, that's even working shifts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, so I think we're probably looking for a motion on approval of this as a concept plan.
I make a motion to support the Hawkins and Meadows disc golf course.
Second.
I'll second.
Moved by Dave, seconded by Jay to approve this as a concept so they can move forward with further review. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The rest of you don't get such a vote. All right, anybody opposed? No, okay.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. All right, Barb is on with partnerships.
Yeah. Well, as you all know, we had an objective in mind for the last couple of years of bringing together all of the various parks advisory boards. And our picnic finally came to fruition to meet that goal. And I thought it was great to see that even Camas and Washougal, who had huge obligations besides our picnic, actually had presence there as well. When I went out and talked with each of these groups to extend the invitation to them, it was surprising to see how strong the response was of coming together again as a full county. So the natural progression to go for the next step is we brought them together to play with us. Now we need to bring them together to work with us, right? We have a little bit of food left over that we did not donate intentionally. We held back some of the hamburger meat that we thought we'd turn into spaghetti. Who doesn't love spaghetti? Because you can do both vegan, you know, with just marinara and the meat stuff easily, and bring them all together for a dinner meeting where we might look at specifically setting up goals. One of the topics that keeps coming up, and I know it's near and dear to my heart, is the Blue Ribbon Commission and all of the good works that were done by that group. And then before we could get to any true implementation, the world changed. So there's that, but there's, also looking at, are you there?
I'm here.
You're back again. All right. Sorry, my phone's such a plague. But there's also looking at the Lewis and Clark Trail. It's a good time to do works like that. I thought before Halloween and we get into the holiday season would be a good time to do that. And I'm looking to you for support in that, setting up the meeting and extending invitations. Do you all feel that this is a natural progression in the right direction?
I didn't hear them. Megan?
Carrying forward after the picnic is to now pull together all of the parks advisory boards from Camas, Washougal, Vancouver, of course us. And then I know that Jeff out in Le Centre and Jeff out there in your cult, well, he was dancing, wasn't he? When he says, don't leave me out. They're all interested in coming together as a collective, large Clark County park vision. And look where we can look at economies of scale, of supporting each other in efforts, where we have common goals or visions, where like the training material that our team is working on. There's a lot of the other PABs that don't have a formal training process, and they want in on it. You know, we can look at places that we can help each other out because we all have common goals.
What day do you think?
I'm bringing it to the group. I'm thinking not a Wednesday because many of the other PABs meet on Wednesdays. I'm thinking that we should do during the week so we don't infringe on personal time, if you will, of the weekend. We were thinking right here for the first meeting. We're hoping in the future that they'll each, and I know for a fact from talking with them, that they want us on their home turf for future meetings. But that's going beyond the first one, take the first step, right? So I'm thinking October before the holiday season is before us. And after that, I thought I'd let the group be part of the thought process here. That's my logic on the timing of it. I mean, we don't want to conflict with Halloween unless we want to do a costume one. No, I'm teasing. I'm thinking before the 15th of October. Any thoughts? First of all, is it a good idea? Are you up for this?
I think it's a good idea. I would actually expand it slightly to include ports and school districts.
Do you want to do that to start?
They are just as involved. Well, not just as involved.
Sure.
But both are highly involved in parks as well. So
ports. Well, the school districts are with us already, right? Aren't you, girl?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in. She says she's in. Okay. Expand to that. Any ideas on a date? I will doodle poll. Yeah. Why don't I doodle poll everybody that we're going to invite? Well, so that they can be part of picking the date.
Yeah. Before we go there, I should just double check. Assuming we... meeting fatigue going on? In other words, are you all fully vested and interested so long as you've got a date available?
What do you mean?
I'm hearing a lot of silence from other board members, so I just want to double check that you all are. Well, you can still talk.
I think it's a good idea to have a meeting. I wonder, that many people and that many groups coming together, I'm thinking three or four steps down the road, how's that group going to be effective? And I've got some ideas, so
yeah.
Not to sidetrack the whole scenario,
yeah.
I think it's good to get them all together for initial meeting. I think either a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Thursday, kind of in the week, because Mondays are always recovery days, and Fridays evenings people have social things to usually attend.
I can't look at
the
calendar.
I would think that we need to put an agenda out before the meeting.
And Marie and I were talking about maybe doing that, but we didn't want to be presumptuous.
I think you would get more people involved if they knew the agenda or knew kind of the purpose. Going back to John's thought about meeting burnout, attending a meeting because there's been a meeting called has a tendency, at least in my mind, for me, you know, what's the purpose of the meeting?
Sure.
What are we trying to do?
Have I ever invited you without an agenda?
No, but I'm just saying that if we're going to set it up and we're going to be the quote-unquote sponsor, say, group, we need to do that. Because I think that's why people either attend or don't attend.
Sure.
Or if each entity could have an item to put on the agenda.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have buy-in,
well,
so
yeah.
They
want
to attend.
Sure.
So
well, let me share with you that I've already gone down that street. One of the things that for sure is going to be there is that Marie did a presentation on innovative park concepts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Ridgefield does in their parks advisory meetings is they have tasked each member, one per month, to come back with a formal presentation where they've done research and thought process on innovative park concepts. That's their topic this year. The presentation she did just totally blew me away. And I already talked to her that if we do this, would she do it there? So yeah, I'm down that street. I just don't want to run there without you. Got it?
I agree with Jay. I think to get buy-in, everyone needs to have something they want to come to the table and talk about. I think if it's a little vague, people might not want to come. They, you know, but if they have a vested interest in coming, like they're going to do a presentation or they're going to share something with the group that's important in their PAB or their, just then they'll come.
Sure.
Yeah, and I guess the difference. Park Concepts is a great lead-in.
The difference is that with my meeting with each of these groups, I already know they're on for it. You know, okay. So that's where my mind is probably in a different place. But yeah, so I'm hearing you say, yeah, go for it. You had a calendar up.
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Because I can't pull it up with my phone.
Middle of October, we're talking?
Yeah, I'm looking at October, Tuesdays or Thursdays. Well, not the, is it second Tuesdays that you guys do nighttime?
Yes.
Not the second Tuesday. So Tuesdays or Thursdays.
What?
Counselor, isn't it the first Tuesday?
Oh, first Tuesday.
First Tuesday. Okay.
For my part, it has to be Thursday. So it's the 11th.
You know, 11th? I don't miss a hearing. I watch them all the time.
Not the second. So why don't I do a check for the second or the 11th?
Also go for the 6th and the 13th.
The 11th. If you want Thursday, it's the 13th.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Tuesday is the 11th.
Yep, it's the 2nd.
So 11th, 13th.
11th, 13th. Start with them.
Okay. Let's check with those first. That's right in the middle of the month. I'll doodle poll out to all of the teams and get the date that the most people can come. Like the doodle polls with you, I will put the tentative agenda there so that people know whether they want to attend or not. Can we get a motion in support of that? I don't want to make the motion because
I'll make a motion that we send out invitations to bring together all PABs, school districts, and port groups to initiate an initial meeting set in the middle of October.
Very good.
I second.
Moved and seconded to set a meeting for further parks work. All in favor?
Aye.
A quick note, just it's kind of dawned on me. We should probably also invite our two wildlife refuge managers as well as the state parks.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good.
And Temple.
That's essentially three people.
So it'll be definitely a big meeting. Definitely need to have probably you or me standing up and doing some sort of facilitation.
Yeah.
I'll just point out too that this meeting in October is on that Friday, the 14th. So if you want to have a couple days in between, maybe that might be.
That would be desirable. Yeah.
You're always going to have something like that, though.
True.
Yeah. And we also need to look at availability of the room.
We'll see what people have. So.
All right. That sounds good.
All righty. Logo and name tags. Jennifer.
Well, this is not a difficult discussion. However, I do want to kind of give us some thought around, first off, why do we want to have our own logo as a group? I think that's really an important question that maybe to start, I just want to throw that out there. Why do we want to have our own logo? And two, there's more like three. So two would be, do we consider ourselves a component of Clark County, and should our logo then reflect the Clark County logo in a way that is more a part of Clark County? The third one is if we just want to be a presence, if you will, I think we should look at our mission statement and determine what do we stand for so that our logo reflects what it is that we would stand for. We looked a little earlier, we had some logos that were very parks-like, and that's spectacular because we're all about parks supporters. So I would wonder though, we are a part, or are we wanting to be a part of Clark County, and would we then want to be the county logo with our tagline or our name or something attached with that? So
to jump in there, if I may.
Yeah, I'm just trying to throw out a bunch of
To answer that part of Clark County thing, I think our tagline should be going rogue.
going rogue. All right, I'm not so sure that's the idea.
And I think I would question whether that, if it's on a logo,
may not work.
There's some branding problems here.
Yeah. Well, actually,
so I want to really take a step back. Yeah. Before right. we say we need a logo as a team, I really want to take a step back and say, why do we want to have a logo as a group? And solidify that so we all know we want or don't want something that we have. And would it be similar to or not the Clark County, because the commissioners did appoint us at these positions, so we are a component, but I don't know, Bill, if you see us as a component of Clark County or a separate advisory board.
Yeah.
And then third, our mission statement, and then it would need to somehow reflect what our mission is. It's not about just parks, but it's about bringing the voice of people to the parks process.
Well, a natural question of that is, Councilor Bolt, do other, or perhaps you know, Bill, do other commissions or committees in the county have their own logo?
Yeah, a couple does, but
Commission on
you
Age.
Know, you don't want the county logo, if you ask me, the old guy in the boat. I don't even like that logo. So,
the old guy in the boat.
But I think, you know, if you're going to have a logo, I think, and what is Aging and others, is that they have devised a logo where everybody in the county and the cities can come. And you're inviting the other PEBs to be involved in this. So I would encourage you, if you do that, you're thinking, maybe someday we'll have be one giant good family. And
so maybe as a component of the the old guy in the boat may not be it may be limiting.
Yeah, I think it is. When people see that, they say unincorporated Clark County. And then that puts the division between the cities and counties. And you just don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Sure. Barb had something to say.
Yeah. Well, I think that as you know, the driver here again, the need for a logo brings about, we're park advocates. That's our charge. Advocacy looks different to each one of us. But one thing that is consistent is that we have a common goal. People need to be able to start stepping out and doing true advocacy. When you do true advocacy, you need name familiarity, which is much more visual with a logo. Okay? I've never seen us as separate from Clark County. We are a part of Clark County. But I gotta tell you, even when I was on PRAC, we were still part of Clark County. We are Clark County. So the Clark County old guy will always be there. He'll be there. But he balances us. You'll notice that for all of the things for the picnic, it was the picnic logo that Jamie did for us, balanced with the old guy, right? We really do need this, because if we're in our genesis, in my mind. Yeah, we've been around a while, but this PRAC was busy on the comp plan. Now we need to lay the foundation for a really strong future for this group. That's why I'm driving standards. It's why we need things like this. We want to move into the future. The first thing we got to work on is, number one, name familiarity, a logo that brands us. Who are we? What does that say about us? And the old guy in the boat is part of that picture. And like with the other, I see our logo on one side, our name, and the Clark County logo here.
Okay.
At the picnic, wouldn't it have been great if we'd all had those name tags instead of the little stick-on ones? I gotta say, this first thing I always do with every group is name brand us and get name tags. I just think it's if we want to grow and move towards a future, you need the foundation first.
Okay. So does anyone have any other thoughts around need, desire, want, dislike, dislike? Are we good with that? I think I don't know if we have that discussion yet, so I wanted to really ask everyone to think about it. Do we have a mission statement that we can pull up easily?
Sorry, did you turn it off?
I was just trying to get off.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was just trying to turn it off. So what I was thinking we would do is put the mission statement up, and then everyone has some stickies, so while Jeremy's doing that, maybe think about what is one or two words, not a sentence or anything, but one or two words that kind of capture the essence of what you think our role is as a parks board. And make them big enough and just walk them up and stick them on the board. You can anonymously hand them to the person to your right if you don't want to be called out for anything specific. But write what you think our role is, or what we would want to have the essence of our parks board. What are we trying to do?
Can I write anything down for you, Kelly, on a sticky?
Advisory Board in collaboration with the community provides staff and community officials recommendations regarding present and future comprehensive parks and recreation facility systems and services. Will strive to communicate best practices that serve the entire community by being economically responsible and promoting environmental sustainability. We're committed to preserving, enhancing, and advocating for the Clark County Parks, Recreation Trails, and Open Space System. Well, I really like those three words: preserving, enhancing, and advocating. That's pretty.
God, those were my three words. I must have read it.
Did you? Did everyone get a chance to put their stickies up here?
Oh no, I said engaged.
So I'm just going to take a second and work together. We're going to read them, and then we're going to group them a little. Just again, we're just all of the sections that I'm doing is sort of grounding us in who we are. What we might want our logo to represent through that. So let's start with advocacy, because we have a lot of those on the board. We have advocacy, we have advocate for parks, we advocate. We have communicate citizens' needs. And tell me, as I'm putting these up here, were these, as I read the next one, if it's similar, let me know so I can put it next to it. Park development. Stewards of parks, lands,
I'd say that's probably what direction is sort of a similar one.
Parks direction?
Yeah. Or future?
Big picture?
Yeah. Also.
Connect?
Didn't you have something like that earlier?
Yeah.
Collaborate. Communicate. Develop.
Collaborate.
Collaborate, connect. Partnerships.
Collaborate.
Engage.
Mm-hmm. That's partnerships.
I don't have that one yet.
Oh, you got the engage, the...
Did we do it? Is this one here? Engage, okay. Preserve.
That's for future. That one you had up there.
Stewards for land and
yep.
present and future.
Yep.
Speak for the people of Clark County. Communicate citizens' needs. That's also under advocate, right?
Yeah.
For both of those. Bring together.
Partnerships.
Yeah. Build community.
Partnerships.
Support community requests. Where would that one go? Do not know yet. Explore. A new one. Citizen input.
I
don't know about where that one might go. Vision. Picture. And teach. So if anyone doesn't like where they're at, holler. You can move them around. They look like they're in about the right buckets. So we say we want to teach and explore. We want to be big picture, preserve. We want to develop. We want to communicate our citizens' input, connect with others, and advocate for parks. Pretty similar to our logo, even without reading our logo, so that's good. Maybe. So, knowing that, what are some visual, pictorial things that might represent,
the biggest,
for example, advocacy? I know, that's a hard one, right? Like, I don't know. But what I'm trying to do is we'll give this list to the gal who's doing our logo. And maybe some ideas around what pictorially that might bring to our mind, and then let her creative.
Would you mind reading the categories again for me?
Sure. So you have advocacy. Advocate. Collaborate.
Communicate.
Support. Citizens. We have develop. We have preserve. We have vision. And really, this is about leadership. As I see it up here, the visionary big picture. We have explore. And we have teach. Can you see those a little bit better, maybe?
So I have to say what's hitting.
No.
What's hitting me?
Can you hear? Let me move you down near Jennifer. Yeah, I'll let me move you closer to Jennifer.
So what's popping into my mind right now is more of a political cartoon than a...
Yeah.
But I've got this image of, you know, some gender-neutral person with the thought bubble of a park in his head amongst a group of people, you know, presenting the idea to a board or something like that. That's sort of what pops into my mind when I read all that. I have no clue how that turns into a
I hope that's not a logo.
Yeah, no, that would be a really, really bad logo.
That would be a really bad logo, but it would be funny.
But I was thinking the same thing, because I was thinking these words, like, instead of focusing on the words of what we do, maybe focusing on the logo and what we do it for. Mm-hmm. So a visual representation of what we're advocating for, not necessarily the verb advocate. I mean, you could have like maybe two hands class with like some trees behind and hiking trail or, you know, something like that where you could incorporate it, but focusing not on so much those words, but what we're...
No, yeah, the words are just as a, this is really what we stand for.
Yeah.
So the logo, whatever image that our gal comes up with for us, we want that image to represent who we are and what we advocate for, or who, what we collaborate for, or any of that. And it's a big tall order, right? It doesn't have to include everything.
But it needs to be simple. It can't be too complex of a drawing.
And maybe you could incorporate one or two of those words in the logo that we feel are most representative, like advocates, or, you know, I don't know, something like that on the bottom.
What about a bridge in a park? That's a bridge is sort of a...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Collaborative thing. Bringing two pieces of land together.
But if you saw a bridge, would you really think Parks Advisory Board? It would be a component of it.
Bridge does stand for a lot of things.
Yeah. Bridge. Oh, I know. Yeah, bridge is great. I love the bridge.
Not between two pieces of land, but into the future.
Now, future bridge.
Anything else that we can, because I'm gonna type this up or write it down or whatever Barb needs so that she can give it to the gal who's doing our logo, so can give her a sense of who we are and what we're about and what resonated with us.
Barb is busy.
Oh, you're writing these down?
She's making a pine tree on a river, I think.
No, that's a hiking trail. Oh, I'm artistic. Now you know why I'm doing it. Just trying to grab the components.
Well, while we're thinking about that, let's say, so one thing we do know we want to communicate is that we don't necessarily want to be not the Clark County.
You want it simple.
Right.
A bridge. A hiking trail.
Okay, this is one thing we want to communicate. I thought that was worth at least having the discussion to explore whether it's an expectation of Clark County that we're a part of them and that we need to look and feel like them.
Clark County.
What are some other maybe pieces we can give her? Because I know, for example, I was a little critical of the last logo. That's how I got this I felt like it was like a pot leaf, and it sort of looked like a pot leaf. And so I'm like, well, how does that communicate parks? It was a leaf, and I get it. It was stored, you know, parks. But I didn't know if we were about people, about connections, about relationships, or if we want to represent a park or a vision of a park or a...
We are called Parks Advisory, although it does expand beyond your typical park.
Liaisons of the park.
Well, we're now Parks and Farm Advisory.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do you have
a couple of things I have in mind is when I think advocate, I understand a loudspeaker or a bullhorn, you know.
Yeah.
But I also think that maybe like a hand that's holding a park that's got children on it, one deer and all that stuff.
It's not that funny.
Put a deer in here. What, a 6 point?
I was thinking about a bird because you were talking about the land they're buying for the crane or whatever.
Sandhill cranes.
Yeah.
Well, I know Jay wanted a picnic table.
Yeah.
And I know I feel there needs to be a tree. And since we're the evergreen state, I really think evergreen.
One thing I was thinking of when we had this discussion last month about maybe, you know, the shape of Clark County and then
the park would be in the shape of a park, itself.
I like the
background. That encapsulates all the cities within the county and the ports and everything, you know, so. We're all a part of Clark County, whether we live in the city.
Well, the first thing that hits my mind, though, is there any part that we want to black out?
No. Just cover that part up with the tree here.
There you go.
Any other thoughts or something that resonates with you that you'd like to see explored?
Well, I think one of the things, I like the wildlife because you're not looking at it right now, but we're 5-6 years away. I still have my fingers crossed. Camp Bonneville. When Camp Bonneville opens, you will be a whole different, the entire world will come to Camp Bonneville.
Oh, yeah.
And very soon you will have a tour of that. When you see that, you will know what your life is going to be like in the near future. I mean, we're talking national parks in the United States isn't going to compete with this. So I think, you know, that's going to be a part of your future.
Wow.
It's going to be like Central Park in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to
be huge. Cool. Yeah. Fabulous. All right. And, Kelly, you have any images that resonate with you that we want maybe an exploration around for Logo?
I like the Chase the County, but I think that's pretty cool. So, other than that, I'd have to be looking at it.
Sure. All right. So, Barb, I can type this up, or if you're right, are you writing it down?
Oh, I'll let you type it up because I can't always read my writing.
I have one more thing.
Yes, please.
I am a acronym logo type of person.
Yeah.
Because most logos are like anywhere from an inch to, I mean, a big one is 6 inches. I mean, and to put a bunch of stuff, it just gets cluttered.
Right.
And that's why this little man in the canoe is so simple, because if you put too much in, you can't understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I like acronyms. But
acronyms?
Yeah, and I would add to that, like if we were wearing our name tag, let's say at a community event, like would we have some sort of acronym or slogan where people would know, oh, hey, there's an undeveloped park property in my neighborhood. I can go talk to this person about it because it says, like, you know, I'm an advocate for a city, or some
Parks
somewhere.
Advisory Board.
But that's Parks sort Advisory of still, Board. Yeah, but I don't know if that's explanatory enough for people, like that we would be an advocate for them. Does everyone know what the Parks Advisory Board does?
Well, that's where we are charged with becoming more visible, you know, like the safety open house is coming up, but as John said, meeting burnout, but we need to reach out. That is on us to make people knowledgeable of who the Parks Advisory Board are, what we can do for them. You know, that's where I say when you're an advocate 24/7. When you go to the Moms Club meeting,
so
you're an advocate.
I'm loving that there's this concept around an acronym associated with maybe a pictorial component. So I think that could really...
Yeah.
That could really be a cool key piece.
But I'm with Dave. We can't do something so cluttered that it explains everything on that.
I agree. I was just thinking kind of like around, like Clark County's logo has something that goes around.
Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like what words, like some of these words we've thrown out, can we do the logo and have something go around the circle that describes, like
Saint
what
right
we're
there.
About with the core.
Saint right there. We're in sync.
Yeah.
That.
I didn't want to
big long list.
Yeah.
Big long list.
No. Yeah, just a couple words.
And as we become more known, if we feel like everybody recognizes our logo and knows that that's CAP, you know, you can get different words. Get rid of words. Just use the. So you can play on that a little bit back and forth. It's a good idea, though, to have some. What do we stand for? What is CAP? Maybe advocacy and vision. Free parks.
Actually, if going to her idea, your three words are advocate, collaborate, and vision or something.
Communicate.
Yeah.
We can put that like around the And then that could kind of tie back into Clark County's logo, where it's an homage to Clark County's logo, but we're not copying it per se, but we're...
Yeah, it would be nice if it balanced, but it doesn't have to. You know, the other thing that's important, I think, as we build this, is it needs to be scaled to where, as you pointed out, that you can use it, a little one, to go on the name tag, larger to go on the big board for events, and it scales. What do they call that? There's a term for that.
Scalable.
Scalable.
Well, there's a different term they use in graphics, but I don't do it.
Okay.
Cool.
Does anyone else have anything else they want to add? This is, we're not going to solve it. We're not going to develop a logo or whatever, but this, I was hoping we could just provide something to our graphic artists to let them know how we feel about our identity. Yeah.
Speaking of which, one of the last logo we did was for the North Salmon Creek Neighborhood Association. And we actually got, it was done by a young boy at Skyview High School. Yeah. Any chance with school starting, we might charge some of your artists there with bringing a vision using this criteria?
I think you certainly could put a call to Clark County Schools, if you will, or something that might...
Wouldn't that be,
you know, like a call,
the PIO?
A call or request? I don't know if it would be through PIO. How's the community done that before? Like,
I went up to Skyview and talked
to... You'll have to close your mark. How did the Water Commission go about doing... They did this call to schools for, like, videos, for water quality, and for all of these things. I mean, they did a really good job of that part. And schools submitted videos from all over about that stuff. I don't know how they got the word out to those schools, because it's really hard to get the word out to schools, quite frankly, but I wonder.
I think it was through our PIO.
Was it through your PIO? Okay. Yeah.
Is that Holly?
Yeah.
I'll call Holly. Call Holly.
Okay.
I'll call Holly.
All right. Well, thank you, Jennifer. Thought that went well.
Oh, see, that's great. And if you guys have logos you like or things that resonate with you, maybe you can ship them to me. I'll put them all together in this summary document, and we'll get it to whoever needs to be given. That'd
okay.
be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Super.
I'm just
curious.
Down the school.
Woo-hoo.
Just everything. You
yeah. Because you're going to get a lot of yeah. different that's thoughts yes. instead of one person designing.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have to say that there was a professional artist that submitted, and he didn't win. The one that won was a teenage boy from the high school.
That's where creativity happens.
And it lives to today. They're good. They're creative when they're young.
Yeah, it helps get the name out. If it's going around all the high schools or whatever it is.
It's not your passion.
Okay, so that's a great segue into the youth board member idea that we were going to talk about. The idea came up at the last meeting, I don't remember how, but the idea came up that perhaps we should have a youth representative on this commission. And we set it aside to discuss today. So I think it's basically the question of,
do you know if this commission still exists?
Yep. That's how you got the, what's in front of you?
That was 2011. That's why I said still, because yeah, that's 5 years ago. But
last year, the Youth Commission had a how to get youth more involved in the county. So we did job shadow and everything else. And one of them was putting youth on some of the boards and commissions, and this was the first one. What's actually going on right now with the Youth Commission is that they themselves are looking at designing apps. And one of the apps they're looking at is a park app specifically mm-hmm. built by kids for kids. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where that's coming, but that's going to be the liaison between them and you regardless.
Sounds like we've got a youth commission member anyway. Great.
So, yeah. So they're on board, you know, because the number one thing that the youth commission comment is from all of them is why do old people design playgrounds for young people? That's their number one thing.
And that's why we said it doesn't hurt to have some youth.
Oh, yeah?
But it's not part of our ordinance. And is it stepping outside the lines, which we tend to do sometimes anyway, to look at actually adding that to our team? Is that something the counselors would be open to?
Well, since we brought it to you, yeah, probably.
Oh, they brought it to us. All right.
So
that's exactly what I wanted.
Does the council need a formal request or anything, or is this something that's just sort of going to happen? And
I think, you know, I don't know what you need. You need to probably change something, you, but I think you just have to send a note to Macaulay, and we'll get on it, and we'll send, you know.
That's great.
So
we'll do the work.
We like that. So let's do it this way. Let's go ahead and get a motion out there just to say, go ahead and send a note to Macaulay asking him to start the process of adding a youth representative to the board.
Would this be a voting member or an ex officio?
Well, we'll let them figure that part out.
Well, that's one of the things you need to figure out.
Oh, you want us to figure
that
out? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think that if you bring someone on board and don't honor them with voting rights, that it's like going through the motions.
Well, would you like to let school districts and Parks Foundation then be voting?
Well, honestly, I would. I
think that they're, you know,
just,
even though,
really
number one, I have to say, you know, I really respect and honor you, Jennifer.
I'm not just
but there would be a conflict. I think there would be a perceived conflict.
I'm just thinking of logistics. You don't want an even number.
Yeah. Well, and how would a kid get here from school?
Well,
we'd have to change the meeting time.
Well, we can do it.
They get school credit.
Can do it.
Well, they also have to have
18 to 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's my other thought.
We need to do some research. Like, there's probably, that's why I said, does this commission still exist? Because if it's a regular meeting group, maybe what we want is a liaison between them and us so that there's regular ongoing communication between their thought processes. I went out and just Googled and came up with this. I don't recall ever seeing this before. And as I was reading it, I was truly amazed at some of their evaluations and recommendations. They're right in sync with us. They might think we're old farts, but we kind of think alike.
Right.
When we bring the child out in us,
oh,
you know, because that app was one that we recommended years ago that we really need to have, that we need to move into the 20th century or 21st century. But yeah, we definitely want to link up with these people. But I couldn't find a list of names.
Oh, yeah.
Can you get those for me? That would be great.
I think the main person you want to talk to is Elizabeth Hill. She's the coordinator for the Youth Commission.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can email you her contact.
Thanks, Laurie.
Yeah, no problem.
So I still think it would make sense to go ahead and have a formalized request. So asking for a youth rep with voting rights. Is there anything else we want to...
Well, does anybody want to object to voting rights, or does everybody agree with that? I mean, I made a statement, but that doesn't make it real or true.
Right.
So how many members would you have if you add the youth commissioner?
If you add two.
Yeah, you could add two, too.
I think it never hurts to add two.
And I don't think we'd be too unwieldy if we added two.
Thoughts on that, Kelly?
So, Kelly, do you like the idea of adding one or two? Or?
I think one's plenty. But
one is plenty?
Fine. I don't have a feel one way or the other.
Well, you want an odd number on the board.
I should have the right to vote, too, but personally, but that's another
story. I think that's another thing we need to bring up as a separate discussion.
Right.
Somebody give me a motion.
Please.
So should the first
motion. I'm gonna ask the question first. What are you wanting a motion for? To put someone on or to develop criteria for
the motion,
which we would then
Well, I think the motion is to request something of the county manager's office.
To allow us to start the process?
Didn't you just said that if we send him a request that he'll
The ordinance would have to be changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ordinance would have to be changed that organized us. Because today it says seven. Us.
Should we... Maybe I'm too much of a process-oriented person, but I'm wondering if we don't want to explore, what does youth mean? Is it 16, age 16 to 21? What is the term? Is it the same as everyone else? So maybe do we need a definition of what a youth is that would join our group? Or do we just sort of fly by the seat of our pants with
No,
that?
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right that we do need that type of definition.
Is it a one-year term or is it a three-year term? Because
The one that they have out in Battleground, because I was talking with Debbie about that, is that the challenge always is students have a way of growing up and graduating. So, you definitely need shorter terms for them. So, yes, I do think. What do you say?
Some structure.
How about
we ask the office to send us someone?
Yeah, why don't we pull a subcommittee together, just short, quick, and sweet, to hammer this out and bring it back to the team?
I think that's something like that.
I think that's the best way for us to move forward quickly.
And I think if you talk with Elizabeth Hill, she can help you.
Right. Yeah, we can information gather and do the legwork for the team.
And I don't think that the Youth Commission's intent, was just to be on here to get their input, not to vote. So if you didn't want them to vote, they wouldn't care about it at all.
I think it's almost like a youth advisory board themselves to have a vote, right?
Okay, so I'll go ahead and send out something on that. Did I just sign myself up? That was silly of me. All right. Let's talk about that issue of our current non-voting members becoming voting members. What are the thoughts around the table on that?
Well, I think Kelly, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think you explained it to me once when I first asked that question. Maybe you could explain for the team why it was that they were not given the voting rights.
Well, it was felt that they were advisory to a part of the team, but I don't remember exactly the wording behind it that I'm prepared to talk about today, but I do believe that... there's a segment of our psyche if we're coming to meetings and working hard and not being counted, then it leaves you a little bit out.
Okay,
for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Could someone give me an example of like a potential, just a theoretical potential conflict of interest?
That's why I was asking Kelly, is because he was the one who explained it to me.
So one would be... Parks Foundation, it's easy. We give grants, and the county is an organization that we give grants to.
Yeah, we're here.
So it would... Although I don't sit on the grant-making body, I have a volunteer committee. I run the organization that gives the grants. So as a community member, I'd say that's a conflict of interest. So...
I think from schools, possibly you're looking at different properties to move forward on. One adjacent to the school might have a conflict. But to be honest, I can have conflict of interest as well, and I've stepped aside when that happens. I mean, that's just how it is.
Could they recuse themselves then if it's an issue directly related to their...
Right.
Well, maybe we should put this one down as a further discussion item for...
I think so.
I think
I agree.
Okay.
Council may have some strong reasons as why they don't want to have, I flippantly threw that out there a little bit. I think it is, have a valuable role in the advisory, not so that I could vote or schools could vote, but it was more of a, you do have a valid and valued opinion and process being here, even if you don't have voting rights.
Yeah,
We can have a legal opinion on that as well.
Yeah.
And to see maybe what other jurisdictions are doing across the country, you know, where there might be some different arrangements, you know, especially with youth, regarding youth, and then ex officio.
I do believe it's the commissioner's choice, not ours.
Right.
Oh, in the end, absolutely. It's a matter of law or
I wasn't advocating to, I mean, I did throw that out there, but I'm not advocating to have us be voting. I just think that there is value in having people here, even if they can't vote on the process. They do add value.
So, Jennifer, you sit on the draft, right? Of the city of Vancouver. Are you ex officio there as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's come back around on that. I think it's worth investigating. But obviously, we've got a lot of research on that one. So let's move over to Bill in Cougar Creek.
Okay, I'm going to back up really quick into unfinished business.
Not a lot.
The PIF update balances of concurrency.
Oh, I skipped that. My apologies.
So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but in your packets, we've got the two sheets. One is the parking pack fee cash balances, which is, to my surprise, it's actually going up pretty substantially. So these past months, we're actually bringing some funds into each one of these combined acquisitions and development on the bottom there. And so, right now,
can you put the building closer to Bill?
What's that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Running right down.
There's a few homes being built.
A few homes being built, yes, and we are collecting 50. Can you hear me okay now, Kelly? Fantastic. So, basically across the board with all of our PIF districts, we are bringing funds in. Of course, in District 9, we're building Sorensen, so that will deplete that funds. Also with PIF District 7, we're building Tower Crest. So those funds will essentially go down to close to zero by the time these parts get built. However, in PIF District 5, as you can see, we have $810,000 sitting there. And our next park in that district to be built is Otto Brown. And so I had a chat with Heath this morning, as well as Matt Hall, to see if we can get that park scheduled to be built in 2018 as a possibility. Otto Brown is actually at 99% complete with design. And so it's just a matter of dusting it off, checking out permitting, making sure that's up to date, and moving forward with construction. The same thing on PIF District 6, where we have approximately almost $1.25 million. That one is going to be a community park. It's probably going to cost more in the neighborhood of between $2.5 to $3 million. But I don't see why we could not start engaging in the design process for that community park sometime in the maybe in the year 2000. Late 2017, early 2018, with the intent of building in 2019. In 2018, we can actually go after a grant as well to help facilitate that. So that's kind of a thought going forward. I think all the other PIF districts, we're kind of a ways out when it comes to trying to finish those up. We still have Pleasant Valley in PIF District 8, but with only $278,000 so far in the bank, we've got a long ways to go. Also, PIF District 10, Cozy Camp and Seven Creek Community Club. Those will be our last two neighborhood parks, but right now we've only got 41,000. So that's going to be out there a ways unless we decide to leverage those funds with grants in the future. So I did put the bug in for Kirk Creek and Otto Brown to be looked at and possibly built in 2018, 2019, in that time. Okay? On the second sheet is our concurrency, and through our, we're actually pretty happy to see this. There used to be a lot more red, and so you can see right now, PIF 5 and PIF 6 are still in concurrency, but as of today, we have the deed to Prairie Fields, which is PIF 6. Is that right, Jeremy? So that red line is going to go all the way down into probably 2019-2020 in that area. PIF 5, Jeremy and I are actively looking at properties to purchase, and we're having a very difficult time, I can tell you that. We are working with a developer to take a look at a piece that has a future arterial that's going to run alongside of it. Do you want to pull that up real quick?
Yeah, can we pull up what district that is?
Yeah. So we've got a piece of property. Are you still there with me, Kelly? Oh, think we lost Kelly.
Calling back. Should be right there on view.
Okay, very good. So here's a piece of property that we've been working with the all of the family on, and it is on Northeast 99th Street. And this is a future, and it's on 137th Avenue, and this is a future arterial that's going to run to approximately 219th Street and about 134th.
Where's that at? 119?
This is 99th Street. You know, East Ridge Business Park is right here.
137th.
Yeah, 137th Avenue. That is the
road that
Kaiser's on in Orchards. Familiar with that? And there's also a school there.
Used to be in Albertsons, they shut down.
Okay.
Yeah, there's south of this.
Pad 137th was Albertsons.
It's so here's Highway 503 here. Okay.
I'm getting my brain around it.
Anyway, so this problem has its issues. This is wet through here, and so we're trying to get as much usable land as possible. There's 7 acres there. However, what's not shown on this is a collector that has to go in as well. So it splits this potential park property right in half. And so the developer is taking a look at trying to move this road north or south, but the problem with doing that, they'll have to move it onto someone else's property and give them the burden. So the one thing that I've put to the developer is that maybe we can have a smaller footprint of the park, you know, either on the south side or on the north side. And so we would essentially be buying like a 3.5 acre parcel. So, which is fine, you know, 3 to 5 acres is a neighborhood park footprint. So that's the thought going forward. The other piece that we're looking at in PIP 5, and we're not sure if this is really gonna happen or not, do you wanna bring that up here? Is at Hawkinson Community Park, there's a neighborhood association that owns a parcel of land. So on the southwest corner of Hawkinson, here's Hawkinson, 200 plus acre parcel. We have this piece right here that's owned by this association that was established back in the early 70s. Here's all the new development that's going on right here. It actually goes south and west across 152nd Avenue. There's gonna be hundreds of new homes with thousands of people moving in who want access to Hawkinson Community Park, where the only access is on 172nd Avenue, way over here. So you can't walk into this park because it's kind of landlocked. There's a big ditch right here. And plus, we'd have to get permission from these two properties to be able to cross right here. Otherwise, we'll be trespassing. So we're working with our realtor to see if we can at least get an easement to get into the main use area of the park, or just buy the property outright. And so they're a little skeptical. They definitely do not want to sell to a developer, but they are thinking about selling to us. So with fingers crossed, we have until the end of September to tie the piece of property over one concurrency, which means use or lose. So that's it for PIF right now.
What happened to the park, the land in Hazeldale, southwest of Hazeldale Park? Was that PIF 5 too?
We own that. No, that's PIF
8. You guys got that?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
That was in concurrent, or getting close to concurrency. That was needed to us about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. And then also the piece north of the fairgrounds, we now own that as well.
Okay.
Okay. So one by one, we're getting all these concurrency issues taken care of. PIF 5 will be the last one. So much for PIF. Moving on.
Long time coming.
Or do we want to wait?
Let's do that. We can talk about the work session real quickly.
Okay. Councillor Bolt mentioned that we have a work session with the board on park impact fees. Just to back up, give you some context. When we were updating our comprehensive plan, part of the comp plan update, as you may recall, was to increase the park impact fees. And if you recall, it was pretty significant because the fees haven't been increased in about 14 years. Part of the hearings, the councilors indicated they would like to have a work session to discuss park impact fees, how parks are funded in general, because they may want to revisit your recommendation as far as increasing the fees. They may want to increase it maybe 20% a year over 5 years instead of the 3 years that you all had recommended. So we scheduled a work session with the board on September 7th at 11 a.m. A board work session is more informal than a hearing. There's no public testimony. However, they are open to the public. And it's basically for the board to talk to staff and get questions answered and for staff to present information to them. In the meantime, staff's going to be meeting with the county manager, Mark McCauley. We're actually going to meet with him on August 25th to prepare for the work session on the 7th. And then we'll probably meet individually with the individual counselors before the work session, just to get an idea of what kind of information they're looking for at that work session.
Okay, again, that was September 6th at 11?
No, September 7th?
7th.
At 11 a.m.
Thank you, Lori, for setting that up. Yeah, yeah. Like Lori said, we're going to be doing one-on-ones with the board just to make sure that we're answering the questions that they have. So we can address that at the work session itself. Help get them informed as much as possible so thereafter they can make an informed decision as to what they want to do with the park's impact fees. So as you may know, already know that if nothing happens between now and the end of the year, as of January 1st, what this board had previously supported is what's going to go forward. So the 162% and increased at 80%, 90%, 100% at that percentage rate. So I think we have yet to find out where the board will go with this. So,
is there any way to delay that work session until January?
What?
Moving along.
I've delayed everything else until January.
Okay. All right, thank you. Yeah. That'd be great if you could come to that work session. That'd be fantastic.
Our school districts have gotten delayed until January.
So I want to talk about this just briefly.
This is that 30-acre farm, right? No, this is...
No, this is Cougar Creek Woods. This is a future community park that we plan to try to construct in 2018. And so, just real quickly, we're talking about the road modification here. So, this is the design that Milan and Flood and Neighborhood Association put together and that our board approved back in January. Is that right, Milan?
March,
okay, that's right. So, March, this concept plan is approved. And so the one thing that is always kind of going to be looming over our heads is we have this dead-end road that is supposed to be a circulation road that connects to this subdivision up here. And I couldn't superimpose the new subdivision, which is currently going to be going in promptly. But there's another dead-end road right about in here. Is that correct, Alana?
Correct.
Okay, so the idea originally was that road was supposed to be a circulation road that connects to this road. So obviously we do not want our park cut in half. And I've actually been talking to some developers in the past and said absolutely not. However, we have to actually legally do that. So, but it's not really a road vacation, it's a road modification. So we just need to make sure that this connection point is terminated forevermore. So that's never going to be a possibility. You're right though, sir.
I'm trying to answer.
Ridiculous ceramic
I ever
heard.
Makes me crazy.
Can't
breathe there.
Ooh, we lost him. Have to call him back.
You can have 2 minutes left on your cell phone plan, girlfriend.
So basically,
I don't have any minutes.
Well, we take a step to try to get this road modification taken care of. I do like these entrances. I mean, to me, these are park entrances. So we can take off the Class 3 barricade and put in some nice bollards, you know, and decorate them up and make it look more like a park entrance that goes in. There is a connection right here. So Milan will have to actually make probably an AD access point into this road connection here as well. So.
Is there any way to work with the new development to add a couple of parking spaces on the north there?
Add a couple of parking spaces?
Yeah.
The new development?
If we've got a road dead ending there, I was just thinking, can you dead make
the parcel? Yeah. I'm sure he would sell us the parcel. That's full cost with a home.
It's local streets, so there's parking on the streets.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. If you've got a dead end street, there should naturally be some space there.
Except if you've been in this neighborhood,
park, parking lot right here, trailhead parking lots, and that's all taken care of so that people don't park within the subdivisions.
And I think if you were to walk this neighborhood, literally people coming from there are going to walk this neighborhood, or they're going to park on the left. It's extremely walkable. And then they have the trail that connects. You can see by the water down there. Mm-hmm. There's actually sort of parking along that trailhead on the street as well. So you could enter the park up from that direction.
Yeah, from 119.
Yeah, sort of like overflow parking.
Except the sheriff's office would let you move those parking spots off to the trailhead.
Yes, for sure. And so that's it. You know, of course, planning staff took a look at this as well because I brought it up to them downtown. And they said, well, if we're going to terminate this road, we should probably put a cul-de-sac in so cars can come down, turn around, and say, no. Because once we affect a footprint of this park, it's under
RCO.
Deed of right to RCO, and that will create a conversion.
So I think that's crazy cakes anyway, because the road just turns.
You don't need it.
Small subdivisions, there's no real reason to have a turnaround.
Right, yeah. So those people
the only reason that
don't need
there
no stinking road
to,
so there.
Exactly. So the stuff will still be there, and so we'll use it as we'll use it for circulation, right? Long term foot or bicycle. Okay. Potential acquisition of 5th District 5. Just talked about that already, so I think we knocked that one out of the park. Miscellaneous updates. So, manager's report.
Where do you guys
go?
We
got 10 minutes,
ahead?
Right?
Huh?
No, we're 5 minutes ahead.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, we're
still
ahead.
No, don't get
ahead.
Just keep rolling.
Yeah, I'd love to show you this on a field trip. Elizabeth Swanson, or actually the Curtain Springs Wildlife Refuge. So this is the existing conceptual plan, and it was done a few years ago, 2007. Anyways, I've got Jane Kleiner. She used to work for Vancouver Clark Park. She's a landscape architect. She now works for the county, and she came over from DES, and now she works in public works. So we're utilizing her for her, put her landscape hat on, and redesign this. So we have the Patton Parkway Trail. Right here, we actually do have a trail connection from this road that comes all the way up. We're thinking about actually making some connections up this way. So when you're walking the trail, you can just kind of drop down to the park, do your thing, go back up and keep on going. Put some oak savannas in, just kind of redesign it, making it cool. You know, the one thing we are not really sure of, got a parking lot here. We might end up bringing that in here someplace. We've got a structural engineer looking at this big old barn. It doesn't look good right now as far as keeping the barn turned into a shelter. Now, one thing we talked about doing is tearing the barn down, build a brand new structure that's been engineered, and then put the barn facade on the outside of that structure. So it kind of keeps the same look, but it's also safe. The house, we haven't figured out what the heck we're going to do with that house yet. It's a beautiful house. It's old, but it's really well taken care of. It's got a wraparound porch. Ooh. And the idea was to possibly make it into
I'll move in and caretake it.
Yeah, but it is small. It's going to take a lot of money to convert it into like an open space. So we've got this room now, you know, and this design was actually created before Luke Jensen was built. So we knew we needed a nice little small community room. So we'll see what we're going to do with that property. So
anyways, where's this at again?
Just east of Van Driessen. On this road right here. So right across from the golf course, the Green Meadows. It's right there.
Oh.
So just as you go from the Green Meadows, look left. Yeah. It's in between 70th Street and that's Patton.
These are storage.
Okay. Yeah, to the west.
There's a storage facility. We got two storage for that you see from Patton. And Andreessen, that's it. The county owns this piece. Stinker. They tried to get this piece way back in 2007 and didn't have the money. Otherwise, we would have owned that too all the way to Andreessen. We're using the PIF level one cleanup funds, so that's PIF acquisition money, so we're not using development funds, which is great. So
yeah, great.
We've got a survey out there doing the entire site right now, so we've got 3 years to turn it into what you see here by agreements, transfer agreement. So we have to have this thing completely done in by 2020. It has to be designed and built. So we do have essentially $1 million from the Schaefer sale that we can actually apply towards that. If I can get the funds put into the right spot of PIF, PIF, we can put it into that, into the acquisition development fund, we can use it for development. So we'll see where that goes.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Good work.
Sorensen, Tower Crest are moving along very well. Furlo, so we now own the one Furlo and the Tribe Piece, which is PIF 8 and 10, and then also the Prairie Slope Edge, which is PIF 6, so those are no longer in concurrency.
Bill, did whatever happened on Sorensen with the, there were some neighbor concerns, whatever happened to that?
It's Vancouver's concern.
Do you remember, was it Sorensen?
Oh, no, Sorensen. Never mind.
The neighbors, you put a notice out, and then the neighbors didn't want the park built or something. Am I the only one recalling that? And then there was a little bit of a concern around a park going in there.
Yeah, and of course, the Neighborhood Association has been involved with Sorensen Park for, 8 years? And we were very much for the Sorensen Park. And then a new person moves in.
Yeah.
And she was there about 2 years now or so. But she was under the impression that if the Sorensen Park didn't go in, that she would get the PIFs back as a property owner.
Oh.
And then she was the one who had put out the notice saying Sorensen Neighborhood or Lida Neighborhood. And people thought it was coming from us, but it was just that one individual who wanted to get the PIFs back.
Okay.
And he said, whoa. Yeah. That's when some of the folks came out and testified again that they wanted it to be a park. So it was already a done deal.
Right. I just was curious what happened with that. If everyone's good now.
Well, it was just that one person. Okay. And of course, she didn't want anything developed there. She just wanted her dog to be able to run around without any constrictions.
Okay.
It was her off-leash site. She didn't want that going away. She sent some water.
Okay, I was just curious that what had happened to that. Sometimes we get something and then we don't hear about what happened. So.
Right.
Okay.
The sleuth pictures. So the Camp Hope Master Plan is progressing well. We have a draft copy that's going to be coming out to you very soon. I want to get that to you about a week or at least 2 weeks in advance before we meet in September. I want to put that onto our September agenda. Just want to see if we can get your support to move forward with that, because then we have to take that to the Board of County Councilors. But I want you to read it, absorb it, and let us know what your thoughts are. So we've been meeting pretty regularly. Gene Akers is our consultant on that, conservation techniques. And just so you know, she is actually moving to the East Coast here as of October, so we won't be seeing her anymore, which is unfortunate. So
what happens when you turn into a grandma?
Yeah.
So she's got brand new grandbabies, and she wants to go back there and see them. It's probably tough to see this. This is Vancouver Lake Park, kind of northern part of Vancouver Lake. And so last year we had this is Buckmeyer Sleuth right here, and anyways, we had two crossings that were rebuilt. One is up here, number one, and this is actually a bridge number two. Make some sense out of this, but our developed area of Vancouver Lake is right here. We just built that 1 mile long. It's a trail extension, and it actually comes out right at this bridge where you can cross and come back up the highway and go back down to the park. What's being proposed for 2017 is Barrier 3 and Barrier 4. So Barrier 3 is on, if you're familiar with Vancouver Lake Park, you follow along past Phase 2, and it's on a dike road, and it comes back out to the highway. This is the dike road that comes out to the highway right here, and there's a culvert underneath here. They want to put a bridge in, and so what the purpose is of that is it then makes this Buckmeyer Sloot navigable. You can actually take kayaks and go through there. The big one here is Barrier 4. This is actually Lower River Road or Irwin O'Reager Highway. And this is the one that dead ends just past Vancouver Lake. And this is what I've been talking to Heath about to see if we may want to take that highway over. And because they're going to take out this subsection of the highway and put a bridge in. And then if we can work with DOT as part of the transfer agreement, get them to help us terminate this road right here. And then the rest, from this point forward, it would be walk in, bike in, that kind of thing. The farmers would still have access through here, and Fish and Wildlife would still have access to their property, but the public would be stopped right here. They'd have to walk and bike. Right now, that is lawlessness up there. Right? People are shooting guns, shotguns, handguns, rifles, you name it. It is just, it's a rifle range. And there's also just continual dumping going on back there. So we actually terminated that highway and brought it up to where there's more eyes on it, like in front of the park here, and would solve that problem, or help solve the problem. So, and this is probably going to be a part of the Lewis and Clark Trail. Both this piece and coming up through Frenchman's Bar will connect up and off to the wildlife refuge.
So the plans to end it at the bridge, the road would end?
There would be a cul-de-sac there, a big cul-de-sac, so people can park, turn around, and actually go park in the park and just start walking down this way. But we wouldn't allow just regular traffic to go down to the end of the road, which is about another mile and a half.
Right, or so. To the hunting grounds,
right.
So
Barrier 3, you said people could take their kayaks up through there?
This is the Buckmeyer Slough right here.
Uh-huh.
And this will be navigable with kayaks.
So I did read, someone wrote into the Columbia complaining about launching access points at Vancouver Lake to get kayaks and canoes in, that you have to drag them all the way through the park.
Across the
Would there be a better access point up here to allow people to launch better?
I mean, they could actually launch right here at the highway to get on the, so they could just, there's wide shoulders here. People can park, just walk over the hill and jump into the slough.
Okay.
So as a part of this Barrier 4 phase, this group.
Get a real shot at that?
Yeah, why don't you do that? They want to actually bring Buckmeyer Slough all the way up to the Columbia River and reestablish it like it used to be way back before all the big floods occurred over the last 200 years. And so that water, that slough will ebb and flow with the tide of the Columbia River. And so it'll actually flush itself out and be pretty decent.
So this is the Barrier 2, and this is Barrier 4.
Yep.
Okay.
So here's Irwin River Highway, here's phase 2 of Vancouver Lake. So they'll basically put the bridge in right here. And then from here, it wraps around and goes all the way to the past Frenchman's Bar.
So this is part of the levee breach proposal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that's that, and I'll learn more as we start working with these contractors. And basically, it's being funded by Bonneville Power Administration. Okay, we did the Lacus Trail study, and we completed that. And basically, with all the trails that are out there at Lacus Lake Park, we wanted to get a handle on all the trails that are out there, all the sanctioned trails, all the non-sanctioned trails, all the trails that are being cut in, and try to get a handle on that. And so establishing a volunteer citizen advocacy to go out there and be our stewards of the park. And so we've got several different groups. We have walking groups, we have biking groups, we've got bird watching groups that are all work together to help us manage that site. So that was really a good result from that study. And with all the new development that's going on along the whole northern side of Lacamas, we need some eyes and ears out there just to make sure that people aren't cutting brand new trails in from each and every house that's out there. So that was kind of the intent. So as a result of that, so out at Lacamas Lake Park, you've got these our big signs and with a map of the park that says you are here. We're going to update the maps that show all the new trails that we have now sanctioned. So it's kind of cool. So, okay. So people want to know how far they walk. So all this probably mileage from everything. So that's kind of cool. Slushy Trail Grant. So Gary Albrecht and I just went up this last Wednesday and presented the final presentation for the Slushy Trail. It's 0.6 miles, and we were well received. Not very many questions, and so we were pretty pleased that we were in and out of there in 23 minutes. So I think we took about 12 minutes to go through our presentation, and they probably gave us maybe 8 minutes for the questions, and that was it. The drive was way longer than the presentation itself, but we're pretty pleased. We're hoping to find out in the next 2 or 3 weeks where we rank, and I hope it's up in the money. So, and then Pat Lee and I are going back up again next Wednesday to present the ALEA grant for the phase 1 development of Daybreak. So we'll see where we land on that. So hopefully with some luck, we'll get a couple grants out of this. And so unfortunately with the Lewis River Ranch piece that we're trying to acquire, that grant went by the wayside because our public access is very, very limited. We've got a gravel pit that runs in and out of there, and so they do not allow for public access at this point. We need to fix that somehow. Otherwise, we're going to lose that land. So, pretty concerned about it. Stephanie, there you go. Low River Road vacation. Milata's been talking to Milata about that recently, and I think I gave that out to you in a handout. It should be right here. This is a document. It's got the county letterhead on it. And so this DOT has basically given the whole end of Lower River Road. You want to move over that area, Jeremy? Over to the county. The county basically had to take it, and now the county is going to vacate that road. Basically, if you look at the back, the front part of the second page. This came from Jen Bazalek. It's his. He basically gives a really good description of what's going on there. So. It's way north, yeah, it's about a mile north of Franklin's.
This is fog, this is the past fog.
Yeah, it's on the north dike.
Yeah, so it's
close to the refuge.
Especially if you see Round Lake.
Is that Round?
That's post office. So that's part of it right there, Jeremy. So actually, it's moving south. So you can kind of see where the road is being vacated on this map that's on your handout. And so
dike's just south.
Yeah. South. That road is
that right there.
That's right.
That's the dike.
Right. So between that piece and about a mile and a half up, that road is going to be vacated to the private property owners who intend to basically work on a fish conservation bank of 293 acres of private land. And so they're going to restore the floodplain and establish wetlands. And I think they're going after credits that they can then cash in on at a later time. But once that project is complete, we're assuming that they will probably want to deed that over to a government jurisdiction like Department of Fish and Wildlife, the National Wildlife Refuge, to us, or the Conservation Futures. So we're hoping that's the case. This is a part of our Lewis and Clark trail alignment. We weren't planning on actually using that road in the first place. Let's see, can you zoom to the right here a little bit to the right? Comes off. Yeah, there it is. This is a dike road. It's an established gravel driveway. It's elevated, and it comes here. It goes all the way up to the wildlife refuge. That's the alignment that we're looking for to put our Lewis and Clark Trail on. It's stable. The existing highway is actually being eaten up by the Columbia River and collapsing into the river. So you see big asphalt chunks that are just going away. And so that highway doesn't really need to exist anymore. So right where the vacation starts is where we're going to turn right and start going up this dike. So that was actually intended to begin with. So with any luck, we'll end up with that property sometime in the future so we can let that plan roll out. And of course, along with all the other jurisdictions along around Clark County. So we brought this up at the Trail Summit, the Intertwined Trail Summit, and it was pretty well received, I thought. So everybody's jumping on board with us. And we do have a grant submitted with the National Park Service to talk about this Lewis and Clark Trail. We should hear back in October if we're successful. So fingers crossed.
Lock them up in October.
Page two. Sorry to keep you a little over here. Heritage Farm parking lot is now complete. That was about a $450,000 grant from Clean Water, I believe. Yeah, to put a demonstration parking lot in at Heritage Farm up the road. It's got four different types of pervious pavement, which is really cool. It's got pervious asphalt, pervious concrete, pavers, and then it also has turf pavers. A neat looking parking spot. I think it's 49 spaces altogether. The farm was actually a little overcrowded, needed some parking spots. It's a lit parking lot. There's a big mitigation planting that's irrigated. So it's basically designed to be a learning tool for folks who want to do design in the future. So it's pretty neat. So all the lights in the parking lot are LED, so it's low energy. So it was a really good success. So there's going to be informational signs or educational signs around the parking lot that tells you what the functionality of the parking lot. So it'll be cool.
It's aesthetically pleasing as well.
It looks nice too. Yeah.
It looks nice.
It's weird because you look at it and see these different types of surfaces, you know. And so with the pavers, they actually put red bricks in to create the stall lines. So it's a neat look. So we already talked about PIF 5 already, so we can skip over that. We have blooming algae that's present down at Vancouver Lake again. That usually happens about mid-August, and it's toxic, so we have to post the beach closed to swimming and wading, and make sure no dogs get in there either, because it's toxic. And so it doesn't stop people from launching boats and all that kind of stuff, but that'll probably last through the end of September, my guess is. But usually when that happens, people think the entire park is toxic, so they don't come to the park. The attendance kind of drops off. And so here at Luke Jensen, we just had a break-in a couple days ago, and I got it on video. The roll-up cabinet into the concession stand, the guy came in and took a big crowbar and popped up the roll-up cabinet and got away with $1,200 and lots of candy and lots of stuff, two big bags. That happened at 4:12 in the morning on Tuesday. It's unfortunate. We did catch him on camera, but can't make out the face, it's too far away. So we got cameras up on these poles that are shining down the building, or looking down the building. That we need to get higher resolution cameras if we're going to try to prosecute them. So the guy was wearing a hoodie, and he took his time. So he was inside the concession stand for about 8 minutes, and he knew. What surprised me is I didn't know they were keeping cash here inside the concession stand. So Sand Creek Little League, they're out right now. So I think it's a lesson learned by them.
Yeah, they should be depositing.
That should have gone to the bank, I would think. Yeah. That's pretty rare when you hear about people keeping cash on site.
Yeah.
Too.
Once the season's over, too, right? I don't know why it was still there.
I don't know. I think it was just like unfinished business, and somebody just happened to break in at the right time. So it was in a locked cabin.
Therefore, took advantage of it.
So we've already talked about the work session, so thank you, Lori. I wanted to bring that up, kind of at the tail end. And we talked about the PIF fees, and so I'm done.
Good job.
Right. Lots of good stuff going on.
Definitely lots of good stuff. All right, committee reports then. We don't have Chris. We do have Barbara.
Nothing on marketing. We already talked about the marketing partnership stuff.
Anything from Dave?
I will be sending out a doodle, I guess is the name. So we can set up the first meeting, set our goals, and that should be this next week. So.
Very good. No J, no intertwine, anything on standards and training?
Yes. In your package, I decided we'd start doing a little tiny training tips for our meeting. So you'll find two little job aids that are part of our training package that I wanted to share with you today. Has to do with the open meeting law. This was kind of a driver based on some feedback I got about my unwillingness, because I'm such an obstinate person, to send out and get input from the team so that we could reply to the Lewis and Clark grant request. I do not mean to be obstinate, but I am a stickler when it comes to open meeting law. So I wanted to share with the team, because as part of the group here, we really need to take seriously our role, and that open transparency is important for us. And some people don't realize that you cannot do these emails that say, hey, if you're in favor of this, let me know, and we'll write a letter, yada, yada. So I got these off of the website, and these are standard training material that's used. The first one, the brown one, just gives you an overview about, number one, pointing out that we, the Parks Board, are under the purview of the open meeting law. We would want to do that ethically, I believe, just because I feel real strongly about open, honest, transparent communications. We expect that of government. And even though we're not seriously high-paid individuals here, we do have, I believe, an obligation to meet. And the place that it gets a little gray is when you start talking about emails. It seems so innocuous to send information out and get a little dialogue going. Because, you know, dialogue's good. But you can't do that in our position. And it points out on the green, goes into some things about email and even telephone conversations. And people always look for ways to kind of, because you really, like I said, I really, really wanted to send that letter from our team that says PAB does it, because I knew you'd all support it. John knew you'd all support it, right? But because we knew you'd support it, we hadn't voted on it yet. We could not make that statement. And we could not ask you to give feedback so that we could make that statement. And this points out why, because there's some areas that aren't even gray, folks. An email message to a majority of your colleagues on the governing body is allowable when the message is to provide only documents or factual information. This type of email is for review only. So when we send information out, and you'll notice most of the time we shoot it to Leanne, ask Leanne to shoot it out to the team. That's actually a much safer way of staying out of the limelight of breaking public meeting law. But if you go through here, you'll find that on the emails that you don't even want to email to the majority of the board and ask for feedback on something. You can't do that because it eliminates the open public meeting access to your discussion. And even if it's, I'll call John, John calls you, you call Temple, Temple calls Lori, that still points out here, that's not a way around it. You cannot do that. So the only way for us to really go through this is to understand that telephone conversations can constitute a meeting, that email messages can constitute a meeting, and even social media, and that's one of the new areas that they've brought up here, can constitute a meeting that puts us in violation of the law. And the penalties for that can be quite stringent, and I personally feel that it's not even that. The thing that drives me is it makes me really uncomfortable to feel that I would act in any way that I would not want one of my counselors to act. I don't want them having secret meetings. And even though it's very innocuous, we only want to talk about, I don't know, the new land over here, and we're not making any decisions. We can rationalize that in our heads. But that actually is a violation, and we shouldn't do it. So, if you take a few minutes to just go through this, it gives you some of the details, because I will say that the first time I went through this, it was a real aha for me. And so, if you didn't know these things, that's why I brought them to you, because it's really important to us.
But we can email, like, Bill and ask a question, and
sure,
if he's not on the board, that doesn't constitute a violation.
Or you can email me and ask me a question.
But I just can't email
the entire group. Yes.
So, meeting minutes now, you'll have to wait till the next meeting to complain.
Oh.
You can't email me back.
Can't complain right then.
Yeah, you just can't respond.
Good job, Dave.
And that's okay.
Actually, if you want...
Makes it easier for me.
If you want to get around that, you email the comments to Leanne, and she can send them over.
Okay.
That's still allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. I will note that the legislature is taking this ever more seriously. This document is out of date. It's now $500 fine.
Oh, it's now $500?
$500, and the county will not cover you. It is a personal fine. So it is serious stuff.
It's up to our two chairs.
Yeah.
So a quick question.
And that's why
you
asked me to run out.
I don't
do
know
it.
If
you didn't
this
want
map,
to do it. Huh?
I'm not sure if this Parks Advisory Board qualifies under this, because I don't know if we have to legally post the meeting notices in the paper. Leanne does it, I think, as a courtesy. I don't think it's a legal requirement for this particular board.
I think it's more geared up for the higher level boards, like the counselors and
decision makers,
that kind of thing. But that thing, I think we should at least get clarification on that, because I can see where this would hinder our conversations about picnic planning, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So.
Well, we didn't have a quorum of our board there at any of our meetings.
Well, we got emails that were flying around.
Oh, well, those were notifications.
Point being,
that was information sharing. Yeah, because if we'd ever had, that's where I said,
okay.
If we ever had a quorum at one of our meetings, but that was never an issue.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the question, is do we have to publish notice in the paper?
Yeah, the same as on your subcommittee meetings?
So this board does,
and
we know that.
We publish notice.
But it states so right here in the law.
That's
the board.
I don't believe it's a legal requirement.
I was under the understanding that it's paid positions.
Well, it says
when that became
member of a subagency created by ordinance or legislative action, for example, planning commission, library board, arts board, civil service commission.
Well, I don't know what the difference is between a park board and a parks advisory board. I don't know off the top of my head if we specifically have to, but the best practices is always that you follow it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, you could send an email to him saying there's a problem with the minutes. Don't send an email to everybody saying there's a problem with the minutes and then have a discussion about the minutes. Save it all for an open forum just like this. But whether you have to legally do it or not, the best practices is always to just do it.
Avoid anything that might give the appearance.
The bottom line is you don't want that.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why in your instructions for your subcommittees, I said that if there is, that's why it's an advantage to leverage volunteers from the community on your subcommittees. That way you get enough people to get good dialogue going without having a majority of our board there. But if you do, that you have to let Leanne know so she can notify. It's just, that's why it's good to bring it to awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I do recall back in later 2014, after our board was created, I think we had some urgent matter. We had a lot of urgent matters because we were delayed not having the board. I think we actually did a couple of votes by email back then. I'll have to look that up.
Did we?
Yeah. But.
Yeah.
I know that I know that when this, like on our HOA, when the sprinkler head is broken, you have an emergency decision, but then you ratify it at the next meeting.
Right.
But it has to constitute an emergency.
Yeah. I think we've been really good.
Yeah.
How we've been operating this board. We're fine. But thank you for this. This is good.
Yes, absolutely. Anything good for the order?
I'd just like to say that, because I'm getting dedicated every meeting, public meeting, to say from the Vancouver School District that you'll probably be seeing our signage go out at all of our schools as we start to continue to inform the public and the community around facility needs for the school district and replacement schools. Although our board hasn't acted on anything yet, we are actively engaged in communicating with our citizens what those needs are. So if you see the signs up, feel free to scan the QRC code and log in and get on the newsletter and keep informed. That's it.
Good. Anybody else? Good to go. Thank you all.
Thank you.
That was sort of like
That was kind of